You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, welcome to the Monday edition of the show. It is Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is the second and final hour of the show. Thank you so much for staying with us from 6 p.m. this evening. It is a Monday, the 7th of October, 2024, +27734703520. That is +27734703520. That's the number that you can use to talk to us and let us in. Today, we're talking about financial freedom. I think it's a very important topic, particularly for me, but I do think that I know that a lot of you also, it's important for you because we are all seeking this financial freedom, right? So according to moneyfit.org, by the way, financial freedom means having enough savings, financial investments, and cash on hand to afford the kind of life we desire for ourselves and for our families. That's important, yeah. Well, anyways, the definition will differ depending on each individual and where they are in their own lives. And this is the reason for our conversation today. And to help us understand what financial freedom might look like for us and how we can actually achieve that, regardless of our starting point, is our brother there, Floyd, joining us this evening. My brother, good evening and welcome to the show once again.
Good evening, Takelo, and good evening to your listeners as well.
Ah, fantastic. It is, of course, October. How are you finding the last stretch of the year?
Oh, so far so good. It's been a long year, even though we have still another 3 months or so to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Lord has been faithful, and I think we thank Him for bringing us this far.
It sounds like you've had a good year.
I think I've just become adept at focusing more on the positives. But it's not to say there have not been any negatives, but I think certainly the positives outweigh the negatives.
And fatigue, I mean, I think it's creeping in with me. So I'm like, yo, every time you have to work, go to work and all, wake up in the morning, there's a bit of fatigue. But, you know, because we love what we do, you know, we wake up in the morning and go and do it. But I know a couple of people also are complaining about fatigue, which normally happens at this time of the year anyways.
No, absolutely. And I think that there's a whole conversation to be had around managing that. And I think I learned some lessons over the last few years, which are helping me. And part of it includes maximizing your Sabbath. Make sure you get as much rest as you can and trying to do as little as possible on Sunday for those of us who don't work on Sunday.
Yes, definitely. I should try that because I think I have a 6 out of 7 working day. Working week. So I must just find a way to also maximize on that. But thank you so much, my brother, for joining us. We really, really appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure.
Now, financial freedom. Help us understand from your side and how maybe you define it from a definition's point of view. What is this thing? What is this animal?
So I like the definition that you used.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned as well that the definition of it just depends on who you are and how you approach this very interesting topic. But in my mind, financial freedom is simply having enough money to live the life you want. Simply having enough money to live the life you want. And that basically means having enough money to cover all your needs, enough money to meet all of your requirements, to achieve your goals comfortably without having to stress about, you know, financial constraints and so forth.
I heard you deliberately didn't mention once.
I guess by the time you get to that point, maybe once is part of the picture
as well. Makes sense. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so financial freedom is about making sure you get your needs. I suppose maybe it's sequential, maybe, you know, like you're saying, let's start with our needs. And then once we build reserves and can cover our needs more, then we can look at how do we get to the wants as well.
Absolutely. I think it is sequential. And
Yeah.
it really starts by achieving some very basic, well, covering your needs first,
Yeah.
then achieving the goals. And usually those goals come with certain priorities and things
Yeah.
that you really want to achieve for
Yeah.
yourself. And the natural next thing, as you've pointed out, would then be, I guess, some of those things that we just want to have in life and the luxuries, so to speak. All of that does come with financial freedom as well.
It's interesting that we look at it from which I think becomes the common term across different people, different status and all that. It's the enough part. And I remember reading a book that says how enough is enough. How enough is enough, Floyd? Like let's look at that.
Well, I guess it may vary from person to person
Yeah.
depending on where they are in their journey
Yeah.
of life. But I guess in my view, when you look at financial freedom, enough is, the point of saying you have enough is when you can cover your living expenses quite comfortably. You can meet your financial obligations quite comfortably. Another key aspect of it is when you've gotten to the point where you are debt-free.
Yeah, oh, yes.
And of course, another point is when you are now able to invest your money in various avenues that can generate more income
Yeah,
streams for you.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So at a very high level, I think most people will be able to relate with to those things. When you earn your paycheck at the end of the month, you want to make sure you can get to the next payday without struggling. That
Yes.
might be enough as a first step. Making
Yeah.
sure that the debts that you have, your debit orders are going off without
Hey,
bouncing. That's another
yes.
important step. And then, of course, to get to the point where you actually don't have any lurking debit orders, you're
Eish,
debt-free, your
eish.
car is paid off, your home is paid off, that Edgar's account is
Yeah,
closed.
yeah.
All of those are milestones that I believe are important indicators of you either having financial freedom or being
Yeah,
well on your way
yeah.
towards achieving it.
Okay. Can then one have, or if I may put it like this, can one have a lot of money, for example, and not be financially free? And would the converse also be true where you might have little money and feel like you're financially free?
I believe so. And
Okay.
I think part of it relates to, I think, things like contentment and so forth. So the
Yes.
definition of that enough varies from person to person.
Yes. Yes.
Some people will have relatively little money in the broader scheme of things in this
Yes.
world. They are
Yeah.
not millionaires,
Yeah.
but they are debt-free. They earn enough of an income to cover their expenses. They have some savings. They're able to meet their obligations and pay their fees and take their kids through school.
Yeah.
And even though they might not be millionaires in the greatest in the normal sense of the word,
Yeah, yeah.
they have more than enough. And often you find that they have contentment as
Yeah,
well.
yeah.
So they're happy, they're comfortable. It covers what they believe is their needs according to their lifestyle. And
Yeah.
therefore, it's not always about the quantity of money, but it's about how the money that you have enables the life that you live.
Yeah, it's not about the quantity. And I'm thinking, yeah, someone might be earning 200,000 and still feel like that's not enough. And someone earning 2,000 feels like I can make do with this.
Absolutely. I think what you often find is a challenge for us as we, go through life, start earning a bit more,
Yeah.
is a little thing that I like that I've started paying a lot of attention to called
Yeah.
lifestyle inflation,
Yeesh.
which simply means that as you earn more money, you spend more money, and as you
Yeah.
spend more money, the propensity to get into more debt and build up more commitments and, try and do more than you should financially comes along with it. So you often find that it's the people who are earning 200,000 rand a
Yeesh.
month,
Yeesh.
who are often sometimes saddled
Yeah.
by lots of debt, lots of
Yeah.
obligations,
Yeah.
because we often feel at that level that, I have enough money to do a lot more
Yeah.
than I need to.
Yeah.
Whereas perhaps there are some people who are simply earning 20,000 rand a
Yeah.
month, but because they've avoided going into debt, They've made sure that they have a emergency savings fund.
Yes.
They've tried to live below their means rather than at their means or above. Those people actually can, in a certain sense of the word, claim to have financial freedom because they are not stressed from a financial perspective.
Yeah.
Their goals are within their reach.
Yeah.
And while some may say they're not ambitious, they should be aiming to live more extravagant lives or have better cars or bigger houses. I think when we look at the principles that we learn from the Bible, for example, the Bible does encourage us to, I think Hebrews 13 verse 5 talks about, you know, trying to avoid living lives that focus too much on the love of money and rather being content with what you have. And I think if you can be content with the little you have without the burden of debt, the burden of obligations, and being able to cover your needs, you can have financial freedom even without a big quantity of money.
Yeah, I love how you're broadening this thing, because I'm thinking that the money or the issues of finance can steal into other aspects of our lives if we are not careful.
Yes, they can. They certainly can. And I think that's why issues of money are so broad. And we've had several conversations over the last few months and years. It definitely does impact your approach to money generally when when you try and achieve financial freedom. It does impact what you view as contentment. It does even talk to issues of stewardship, issues of generosity, and of course we've been talking quite a bit about debt already this evening.
All of
those things connect as you go on this journey of financial freedom.
And I'm going to digress here, Floyd, but I think you'll help me in my thinking here. There's a concept called OPM, other people's money. Won't it help me to get financially free?
OPM, I guess you're talking about it from the context of debt.
Yeah, getting other people, using other people's money, not necessarily using mine. And maybe I might need to just pay them a bare minimum of sort, but I take their money and maybe buy a few assets and get myself to some level of freedom. Maybe over time I might be, you know, settled their money or whatever, but maybe instead of using my own, I could take into other people's money.
Well, I guess I fully understand the context, the concept of OPM, and I think many of us are doing that to a certain extent, where we use funds that belong to the bank to finance some of the things that we want to achieve. Because none of us has a million rand in savings, we go to the bank and get that million rand to buy a home or to buy a car. And I think as long as, firstly, you're using OPM or other people's money to achieve things that are advancing your journey towards financial freedom, I think it's okay. It does come with a lot of responsibilities, of course. You have to meet those financial obligations. And until, of course, you've covered that debt, you cannot claim to be financially free, but certainly leveraging funding from the banks and so forth is an important step towards achieving financial freedom.
Yeah, I just understand the terms and conditions sometimes.
And the interest rates that are not always disclosed, but absolutely. It can be a powerful tool provided you use it well.
Okay, and what would you say then are some of the habits that can, you know, set someone or lead someone to financial freedom? What are habits that we need to start putting into place?
Well, I think the first one is, of course, coming up with a plan. I think I often emphasize the importance of sitting down and making sure that you have a clear plan or a clear vision of what you want to do with your money. And that plan can be manifest, broadly speaking, by simply having goals to say that I want to buy a home or I want to buy a car or I want to be debt free or whatever it is. But more practically, it often then means making sure that you simply have a budget so that you understand how your income and your expenses move within your life. So having a plan is, in my view, quite important.
And failing to plan, I suppose, is planning to fail as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's very important to achieve anything progressive if you don't know, the path that you need to follow to get to it. So very, very important to have a plan.
Okay.
And I guess the one or two other things to then think about is debt. Often debt is one of those things that burdens us.
Yeah.
And is a huge, huge barrier toward achieving financial freedom. And I think once you understand where your finances are, have a plan around, once you're clear about your goals and you have a plan, and you're also clear about how you currently manage your finances from a budgeting perspective, very important to begin to clear debt. I think I mentioned earlier that many of us have a bond of some sort.
Yes.
Some of us have car payments that we're still settling. Some of us have credit cards, and those of us who are still clearing, things like store cards or store credit, just know how heavy that can be.
Yeah.
Having a plan to clear that and actively working to clear that is a very, very important step towards achieving financial freedom as well.
And I suppose buying assets then.
So before even buying assets, I would actually simply say, if you have a plan, you have a budget, you are clearing your debt and have cleared that debt.
Okay.
Or I think the next step for me, or a parallel step to all of that, is simply creating additional streams of income. It is very hard to achieve financial freedom in our lifetimes if you have one source of income. And it's simply because often by the time we begin to learn about concepts like financial freedom and learning more about financial responsibility, financial planning, et cetera, we are often imbalanced in terms of our obligations and liabilities versus our assets. And the quickest way to accelerate your journey there is to actually create a second income stream or a third. And I know a popular statement that's said out there, I'm not sure who it's attributed to, is one that says you need to have as many as seven income streams for you to ultimately become financially free, or at least become a millionaire, for example. And having additional income streams is very important. So you have your job, you have a paycheck. That's income stream number one. You consult people, or you help kids with their homework and their parents pay you something. That's income stream number two. You and your friends, have a little project that you're working on weekends. That's income stream number three. Your wife likes to sell acha. That's income stream number four. The more that you come up with ways of generating additional income, you do find, and even, of course, investing money and receiving income, that's another income stream as well. So the more that you diversify your sources of income and come up with additional sources, that's a very important step to give you that extra security, speed up your progress towards achieving your goals.
I suppose then running a business or having your own businesses and all these other achas and everything really, like you say, almost speeds up your ability to then get to, you plan these things properly, you allocate the amount of time for each one of them so that there's no imbalance. As a professional then, I'm thinking about this now, I work, I'm a professional, C-suite, maybe executive, whatever. Is that why these executives have their board members there and their CEO here, but also there? It's also different streams of income towards financial freedom as well.
Absolutely. I think, of course, there's the professional benefit in that you get more exposure and you improve your profile. But when you see someone's serving as an executive, as a director in either in the same company or in another company, working as a consultant to small businesses, some of them perhaps lecturing at business schools on weekends, all of those maneuvers and moves are in an effort to generate additional income and create new income streams as well. And of course, because some of those higher earning professionals, it allows them to access funding from banks. Often they can then go and invest in other businesses using OPM, as we spoke about earlier. And all of that contributes towards generating additional income.
To get to that level of C-suite, you'll be in your 40s or 50s. So you also plan that very carefully, because it can take time, especially if you're going the professional route.
It sure can, but I guess patience does pay off, and it does require you to be quite focused, quite deliberate in trying to progress in your career, but certainly achievable. And I think there are some outliers who manage to accelerate to those executive positions in their late 20s or early 30s as well.
But I think with the way things are, technology and all this sort of stuff, and suppose with the way education has become accessible to a lot of, particularly our Black people, for example, it's no wonder then we're accelerating quite a bit of young people getting into very executive positions. I suppose with the advent of new things, with AI changing things, you want these young people leading the pack, and maybe that's where opportunities open for them. Because I have a friend who's in his 20s, and I'm like, yo, he's already an executive. And you're like, can't see this world, you know? Things are moving very quickly. Yeah. Like, how are you an executive at 20-something years? Like, no ways, man. That can't be true. But I think because of the, you know, being in a tech company, it's the young people that are more tech savvy.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right in that. Firstly, education is a lot more accessible. At least in certain groups and areas. But also, as the world has evolved, the way people learn is very different. Someone straight out of high school could have a lot more tech experience than someone who's been working in the world of work for many, many years. And it's simply because they have grown up with technology. Exactly. They've adopted it much, much quicker. They understand how it solves problems, how it applies to various groups. And therefore, someone in a tech environment can certainly move up the ranks quite quickly. I think we've seen historically and even now, the people who are at the forefront of these big tech businesses are relatively young people. It's not your traditional 50, 60, 70-year-old CEO. It's people in their 30s and 40s, man, who are at the forefront of these businesses.
And I see that quite a lot when I fly, because I get exposed to young people, particularly in business, and I would sit in a pitch or something, and you see this young person, like this is a pretty young person, but he's already CEO, he's already this and that, and you look at the kind of projects that they've been involved in their business, and like, I think the future is really bright, because we're seeing young people doing amazing, amazing stuff, and we can only be proud,
Absolutely, and it does make, at least for people who are entering the world of work, the future is bright. There's a lot to look forward to in terms of opportunities to accelerate through your career and achieve a lot, provided, of course, you stay completely focused and take advantage of the opportunities God puts in your path.
Yeah, definitely. Now, let's talk about then the proverbial, I suppose, never-ending hamster wheel of constantly looking for more and more and more money in the pursuit of, I suppose, financial freedom. What should one look out for? It can be detrimental. It can be good, can be detrimental. There's lots of things to look at there, but it seems like that cycle doesn't end.
Yeah, that's very true. It can feel like it's a never-ending cycle. But I think my personal diagnosis of that problem is simply a lack of a plan. And often we end up caught in that hamster wheel, like you said, or the rat race, as others refer to it. And that's a situation where you're constantly running. It's paycheck to, you're living paycheck to paycheck. You barely get a chance to breathe. You know, it's if you're not paying Peter, you're paying Paul. And sometimes you are not paying Peter so that you can afford to pay Paul. And it's constantly a troublesome and a difficult situation. And I think many times people find themselves in that situation where they end up saying, I guess this is my life. We are working just to pay bills. But the in my view, the it does require of us to at some point stop and take stock of where we are financially, be very clear about what are the things that are holding me back, what are the things that are burdening me, what obligations are overcoming me, can I really afford the life I'm living, can I really support this lifestyle, and what are the things that I need to do in order to break free. And that conversation with yourself is already the beginnings of creating a plan. And I think once you start saying, okay, I understand where I am. I have a vision of where I want to be. These are the steps that I need to take to get to where I need to get to. These are the things I need to stop doing, the habits I need to change, the things I need to stop in order to get there. You are well on your way towards breaking out of that that hamster wheel or that rat race.
There are people who work 7 days, Floyd, because they are chasing this and that. I've got to attend to that on weekends. And I think it's for us as Adventists, the beauty is that, you know, we've got the Sabbath that says you must stop now. You can't be chasing after man, because we're working every day. And I think perhaps that's the other blessing of the Sabbath, is that it forces you to stop and reflect on the fact that it's not always about money. It's not always about chasing the bag. It's not always about, you know, financial and all that. But sometimes rest. Take a bit of a breather, you know, recuperate, re-strategize again, and start your week again. But hey, that red race, once you get into it, it almost gives, for some people I know, it almost gives them the purpose, adrenaline to live. Because they are constantly on the go. There are people who are constantly flying in and out. We've got a deal there, must do that, must do. Like, literally, you book this person 3 months in advance for you to get to them. I'm not bluffing. There are people like that.
And look, I guess people view this life thing very differently. Some people are highly motivated, and what drives them is constantly moving and achieving things. And I do think I admire that quality. Often it's the sign of people who work very hard. They're very driven, very ambitious, and so forth. But it's, of course, it's very important to ensure that as you do that, you find a balance, because life is not all about working nonstop and, you know, chasing the next opportunity and so forth. And I think it takes me back to the point that I said earlier about contentment. At some point, you have to find contentment. And if you find yourself constantly chasing the next thing, what we often find is that, especially from a Christian perspective, your possessions begin to own you. And you get to that point where perhaps chasing those possessions and chasing those worldly things almost becomes an idol for you, and becomes more important than your relationship with God, the relationship you have with your parents, the relationship you have with your family, your other responsibilities in life, your health, for example. And I think while I truly admire people who are ambitious, and I'm quite ambitious myself, I do believe that God has put us on earth for more than just making money. We have to build our relationship with him. We also need to serve the communities in which we live in. We need to support our families. We need to honor our parents. And we need to, you know, take care of our bodies and do a lot more in the time that we have here on earth.
Yeah, I was about to say my listeners must be careful, because this guy is just being modest here, Floyd. He's done quite a bit. And one day he will bring him on board to talk about that. So sorry.
No, I fully understand. And it's because I, as a young, ambitious person myself, I sometimes get caught in that spirit of rushing, chasing. But from time to time, and to your point, perhaps that's why God gives us the Sabbath. Because we have one day a week where we just stop and take a breath and just reflect, rest, center ourselves in the Lord, and find, you know, the right balance moving into the next week.
Lovely, lovely. Okay, how do you round it up? What would be your last thoughts?
So I guess over and above the things that I mentioned earlier, I think very important to understand the concept of financial freedom.
Mm.
This is something that we're all trying to achieve. Whether we've realized it or we admit it or not, we all want to get to the point where we can say, I can make decisions about my life without worrying about money. I have enough savings. I don't have any debt.
Yeah.
I've covered all of my obligations,
yeah.
and I can still afford to spoil my wife.
Yeah.
I can still afford to take my children on holiday.
Yeah.
I can afford to buy the car that I want. As we said earlier, we can get to those wants beyond the needs as well.
Yeah.
But it does require, you know, you to invest time in and put in the effort to get there. And part of those steps are simply making sure that you have very clear financial goals, you're living within your means or below your means, you've come up with additional income streams, you've done whatever you can to eliminate debt, outside, of course, the concept of OPM that we mentioned, where you're using debt perhaps to advance your progress towards achieving these goals. But when you do that, you'll find that you've gotten to the point where you have enough to save, enough to invest, and enough to ultimately use your money to fund the life that you want, rather than to simply survive from paycheck to paycheck.
And ultimately have time, because I think that's the biggest commodity that I suppose building financial freedom affords you, just time and time to yourself, which is important, and God for that matter.
Absolutely. And of course, I think perhaps as a final statement, the principles of stewardship that we find in the Bible are absolutely key for helping you achieve financial freedom. And often we wonder why someone is giving us that little speech before offering every Sabbath. But if we paid attention to some of those principles that we get throughout the scripture that talk to the importance of faithful management of our finances, our possessions, and so forth. I think the Bible says, if you have not been, somewhere in Luke 16, it says, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you to handle true riches? And I know there's the verse as well, which says, if you are faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. So perhaps one of the secrets to ultimately becoming financially free is honoring your commitment to God in your tithes and offerings. And as you learn to do that, you'll find that you can honor more commitments elsewhere, and God will entrust you with more financial freedom and wealth at the end of the day.
250,000 rands a month of, you know.
Absolutely.
Dealing with it, that, imagine. It can happen. Thank you, Floyd. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. It's
Thank
been a
you
pleasure.
So much. That is our elder there, Floyd Munetsi. Yeah, some stewardship principles there that he dropped for us, which are really, really important. So, yeah, hope that you've taken just for yourself a little bit of one or two things as you build financial freedom.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.